Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock, and welcome to my lifestyle podcast, Live Without a Net. The podcast showcases people who live fearlessly and have the ambition to create something. I'll showcase change makers who have decided to let go of their safety net in order to survive. So let's jump right in. Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock. Welcome to Live Without a Net. I have Jason Peters. He's a journalist, creative director, and founder of thephillyplaindealer.com. Happy to have you on my show, Jason.
No, thank you so much for having me on. Couldn't be more appreciative. And, you know, getting the word about the word out about the Plain Dealer is like my modus operandi right now, because we're gearing up for a launch this summer and I couldn't be more excited about it.
Good. So I looked at some of the articles. So you started this a couple years ago, or how long ago?
So essentially, I started it back in 2020 when being a freelance writer was my main source of revenue, because when you're a freelance writer, you have a lot of pitches that get rejected and stories that you want to tell, but there's nowhere to put them. So essentially, I made it as a receptacle for all the ideas I could never sell. And then through time, it evolved as kind of an incubator for other writers. So I would mentor other Philadelphia journalists on how to do this professionally as a job, how to write in a way that was professional, how to write in a way that could pay the bills ultimately. And through that, we've gotten some really good writers placed at different outlets throughout the city. We've gotten people paid. But now we're turning a new leaf and we just got our paperwork. We're officially a real company, LLC and all. So now I'm trying to turn it into a profitable business that can become my full-time thing and be competitive in the Philadelphia media landscape, because I've worked for pretty much everybody. I've written for everybody in at least a freelance capacity, and I have a good idea of what it takes. So I'm essentially living without a net, and my next chapter of life is going for it with a media company.
And didn't you have a viral story that really put Philly Plain Dealer on the map?
Yes, I did. And a tip for any creatives out there, you can try as hard as you want to go viral, and you can try as hard as you want to get eyes on whatever you're doing, but it's always the thing you don't expect that does it. We put a lot of really good, well-written articles out, a lot of really great stories, but ultimately, the thing that brought the most eyes to the Plain Dealer, and as a matter of fact, pretty much anything I've ever done, was I was in the Acme in South Philly, and I saw the cheese shelf in disarray. And truth be told, they were just restocking it, and it looked messy. Nothing had happened. But I went on the Philly Plain Dealer's Twitter account, and I just tweeted, "Breaking, the cheese shelf has collapsed at the South Philly Acme." And it got hundreds of thousands of likes, tens of thousands of retweets, more than 16 million impressions, brought in thousands of followers to our Twitter at Plain Philly. And it was on the news at night. It was in the newspaper, like the Philadelphia Inquirer hit me up and did a story on the viral tweet, because hundreds, if not thousands, of people were commenting cheese puns underneath the picture. People really had a field day with it. And that's how it works. Like, I've gone viral many times, millions of views on several things I've done. One was just a guy selling, and there's no clean way to say this, t-shirts that said Ben Simmons is a dickhead, and then had an image of a man's phallic parts with Ben Simmons as the head of the phallic part. And I just caught a 6-second clip as I walked by. I didn't even stop to take the video. And it got millions of retweets, millions of shares. Very similar with like the 2017 or 16 draft when Carson Wentz was there. I went there and a Cowboys fan tried to get an autograph, and Carson Wentz took the Cowboys hat off of him. Another millions and millions. But it's all about having an audience, finding those little moments, and sometimes somehow it always works. And like I said, I've done research. I've exposed crime. I've done long form things that are thoughtful and intricate and intelligent. That stuff never gets the love. It's always the lowest common denominator or something that someone can look at immediately and understand.
Right. That's true. So do you plan to be one of Philly's mainstream news sites for all things? Like, it could be health, tech, business features, sports.
So our primary focus is going to be underground stories. Same mentality as freelancing. Like, we don't want to compete directly with the local media because there's a lot that they are missing. So we want to just scoop up everything that they're missing because they already have their writers writing about their beats. So I'm not going to write a better article about like chemistry than the science writer at the Inquirer, but I do happen to know more about the local hip hop scene or homelessness and things like that. We're just going to lean into our strengths, mainly focus on entertainment and the working class, and really focus on the community first. Like, they don't need us writing about the Phillies. Everyone's writing about the Phillies. Like, I'll write about the Phillies if I want to, because that's the beauty of having our own website. So if I want to write two articles about the Sixers, I'll write two articles about the Sixers. But that is not our MO. Once we start up in the summer, probably July, we're going to have a lot of long-form features of influential Philadelphians. We're going to be highlighting at least one artist or band or rapper a week. And we're also going to be breaking news. So it's going to be interesting. Right now, the team's small. It's me and my partner in crime, Martin Sackensong, who's one of the writers that I helped mentor, who also writes for Metro Philly newspaper, which I also write for from time to time. It's going to be interesting because we want to be essentially a countercultural force, but also something that's approachable. We want to be our own thing, and we want to be unique, and we want to be in print as well as online. We want to have podcasts as well as video. We really want to be a full 360 media house.
How did you come up with the name Philly Plain Dealer? Because it doesn't sound plain to me.
So the Philly Plain Dealer, I found the name, and this is a great question, because I'm a fan of the rapper Kid Cudi. Okay. And Kid Cudi is from Cleveland. And in his rap songs, he references the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And as a kid, I was like, what the hell is he talking about? I thought it was a drug dealer. Like, I thought that's what he was referencing, because dealer, hip hop. And then I looked up and I was like, oh, Cleveland Plain Dealer is a prominent newspaper in Ohio. So I was like, that's a really cool name. Why is there no Philly Plain Dealer? So I did my research, and there was a Philly Plain Dealer back in like the 60s or 70s, ran by some radical left-wing Temple students. And they actually got it printed a few times. So I went online and I bought a vintage original copy of an original Philly Plain Dealer. And I thought the spirit of it was really strong. I thought it was rebellious. I thought it was cool. So I was like, okay, let's reinvigorate this thing, because I don't think it was something that ever had mainstream success. It seemed like a passion project for some radical Temple students. And as a graduate of Temple myself, I was like, okay, let's bring some juice to this. And one of the features that we're doing on the Plain Dealer is a series called Bygone Philly, where we just take old news articles and explain them and bring them back up by outlets that no longer exist. So our first outing of Bygone Philly was an article by the Odd Fellows Journal, which is a newspaper that existed in the year 1900. So the article that we explained what it was about was 124 years old, and that came out last week. So we're going to republish old works by defunct outlets and show what people of Philadelphia thought years ago. We want to bring a new perspective. We want to make people think in weird ways, make some of the content a little more challenging. You know, a lot of things have been dumbed down, and I believe in the audience, you know? Let's give them stuff and see what they do with it. Like the cheese shelf. Like, why would a picture of a cheese shelf get 16 to 20 million impressions, get on the local news? Like, that's just throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah.
Putting yourself out there and letting the world react. Because when you are a content creator, you are not in charge of the content the moment it is released. It becomes the world's. So I want to see, give the world something to play with.
Are you going to be doing TikTok too? That just makes me think, because you're a storyteller and you're going to have podcasts and you're going to have all these articles and magazines. Are you going to utilize that tool as well and have, you know, the videos follow you around, or your staff?
Realistically, we should. But I'll tell you, video content is the bane of my existence. It is the only thing that is proven to work, and it is the hardest thing to do. I don't like it, and it costs money. So yes, we probably will have a TikTok, and those things will then be posted to YouTube Shorts and Reels, and it'll be a part of our platform. But I'm not looking forward to it.
But
maybe I'll get someone
proven.
Younger than me. Maybe I'll get someone younger than me, just because I'm pretty young. I'm only 28, but I don't have the sensibility for TikTok. If my face popped up, and I have a big rule that I don't do forward facing video, just because it makes me feel bad. I don't like it. I don't like doing it. So maybe we can get someone young and hip to be in charge of our TikTok.
You seem like a natural, but you did say it's the only thing proven. Are they studies from where?
Well, not proven. So that was me stepping out of line. If you ask anybody in this field, video is king. So I can't point you to any studies, but if you want to drive traffic to your website or to your company or your business, and you're not using TikTok, Instagram Reels, and YouTube Shorts, and short form vertical video, it is a fool's errand, at least from everything I've seen, because I've been able to, the cheese tweet is the only static image I've ever had that got, that went viral. Everything else that I ever had go viral was video, short form video, less than 1 minute.
Yeah, I think that's what really works. People really don't have an attention span for longer these days.
Mm-hmm. And you got to grab them immediately. And there is kind of a way to do it. And yeah, this is me realizing that I'm going to have to do it. Yep.
Yeah, I think you should. You're young
today.
You have a great voice, great look. I think you have to do it.
No, I appreciate that greatly. But you know, TikTok is I currently work at Hot 97 in New York City, and we had a series called 4 Minutes of Fire that I was the creator and the host of, and shout out to my partner in crime in that, JD. We had an episode of that go mega viral, 25 million views on the TikTok video alone. And that TikTok video, we posted it twice with 2 months of separation, and it brought in, I think, 45,000 followers to the Hot 97 TikTok account. So literally one good clip could turn your business viable on TikTok.
That's great advice for people listening.
Once you have 45,000 followers, what you can do is you can sell your TikTok following. Sponsorships of your TikTok. So with one video, it became us, it made our TikTok a sponsorable asset.
What was that video, may I ask? So we could have some tricks.
So the show was 4 Minutes of Fire. And that was a show where artists come on and they debut new music. So, and they have to rap for 4 minutes. But we, for TikTok, we pick obviously like the best 30 seconds to 1 minute. And it happened to be a Philadelphia artist by the name of Leigh Banks debuting her song Ick. Ick is big slang word. Like this, you gave me the ick, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And it was right at the height of that. And the song's pretty vulgar. And people had a lot of opinions and thoughts about it. So it was controversial, salacious. I didn't know that she was going to perform it. I'd never heard the song before because the song had never come out yet. But yeah, it was a clip that her starts with her saying the phrase, because like I said, you got to suck them in immediately. The first lines of the clip and in the song are, "Lady boner gone, he dry humping me and huffing like a dog." And then it goes, it's pretty defamatory towards men and talking about how men suck at sex and she hates them and she deserves a better one. And listing all the ways to give her the ick. And it's a great song. It's a lot of fun. Millions and millions of streams. Extremely successful. Mega viral song. But the clip from 4 Minutes of Fire was seen more than 20 million times. It was remade. Like, the audio was reused by thousands of people. And it was so successful that she released her, that version of the song as a song that you can listen to on Spotify and iTunes, and me and my partner listed as producers on the track.
Wow, that's really cool. So then if you're listed as producers, do you get any of that income?
I asked. They said no.
Ah, well, it can go on your resume.
Yeah, that's all I needed. Technically, I produced a song for Leigh Banks, and she's only 19 and one of the biggest stars out of Philly right now. I would expect her to be like MTV Awards big in the next 4 or 5 years.
Look at that. And then you can go into music publishing, producing.
Yeah, in due time. I know my talents. I prefer to be a writer. I like writing. I like podcasting. I would love to get a book deal. But yeah, no. I was happy that I was able to give her that exposure. I didn't expect it to go 20 million, but look at me.
Right. No, that's amazing. Congrats. So can you give us podcasters out there or anyone looking to do a podcast tips? What makes a good podcast? You seem to know all the ins and outs of it.
So my advice for someone starting a new podcast is find your niche, find your niche and go somewhere where competition isn't, you know? So my creative philosophy is all about doing new things, because the first of all, people want new things. They don't want the same old, same old. And secondly, if you're doing something brand new, there is no competition. That it's simple as that. So with 4 Minutes of Fire, that was a very specific type of show. It was a music premiere show, which is a relatively new concept for this online sphere. My podcast 2100, which is what got me into the podcast space, is a podcast that in theory is only meant for the people of the year 2100 to listen to. I was the first to that market. And so that gave me my audience. And then it built me up. Now I'm some sort of 2100 expert. And I've been to conferences where people were referring to me as a futurist. Would I ever call myself a futurist? Not necessarily. But if other people are going to call me, sure, sounds official. So you can, as long as you have an interest in something and it's something that you think you could do a good job at creating and you think it's accessible to people, go for it. But the world doesn't need another Philadelphia Eagles podcast, you know? Like,
true.
There's hundreds. And like if you got to come up with new ideas, you got to find a way to stand out, because so much is out there already. And if you end up looking the same or feeling the same as something else, you're only hurting yourself in the long run.
Do you need to be like Jason and Travis Kelce to have a really well-known podcast, or can anyone become a great podcaster with a lot of listeners?
So I would put the celebrity podcasts, that's a different bucket, because that's obviously anything they do, they have the access to advertisers, they have access to networks, yada, yada. But there's been tons of podcasts that have become behemoths and have become like amazing. There was the Bodega Boys podcast, which was hosted by Desus and Mero. Then Desus and Mero get a show on Vice, and then Desus and Mero get a show on Showtime. And then they split up, and now Desus is working with CBS and Mero is doing a podcast with Carmelo Anthony. They were just two dudes from the Bronx. Same thing with like the Pat McAfee show. Yeah, Pat McAfee was in the NFL, but he was a punter. What famous punters do you know? he started a podcast. It started small. Then he goes to Barstool. Now he's on ESPN every day. You know, you can do this thing. And then there's also like a million examples of people who are, it doesn't need to make you $1 million, but if podcasting can make you a couple grand and you're having fun doing it, like, why not? Like, if you can gain a dollar just talking into a microphone, be happy, you know, because that's not everyone. I think it's something like 50% of podcasts get less than 12 downloads, and that you can quote me on. So if you get more than 12 downloads, you're in the top 50 percentile worldwide.
Wow.
And then once you cross that 1,000 download threshold, like, you are a real, real podcast. Like, you can be a player.
Wow. Okay. So that's good tips for anyone out there, because as you know, there's so many in so many different verticals. I love listening to podcasts every single day. Mm-hmm. So tips like that for me are empowering, and I'm sure for the average person who's just wants to start.
Yeah, and consistency is key. Making sure that you drop on the same day in the quantity that you put into the back end. So like when you're building a podcast, you have to say, hey, Apple, this is a weekly show. And then if you stop doing it weekly, the algorithm doesn't help you. But if you do it weekly and you prove to Spotify and Apple, this is a weekly show, we are doing this every week, you are rewarded.
Yeah.
And that also happens with your listeners, because you have to be consistent for the listeners, because even if people are just scrolling through your stuff and they see, oh, they're like missing weeks, they're not doing stuff. If you're building fans and an audience, you have to be reliable.
Right. And that's good tips for me, because I come from the TV world and I know it's just like any other show. You have to be consistent. They have to find you at a certain time. So even myself, I have to get better at that. But it's good to know that for SEO purposes and the algorithm, it definitely makes a difference if you are consistent.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And consistency matters to everybody. Like if you turned on NBC on Saturday Night Live and it was a rerun of MASH or whatever the hell, and it wasn't Saturday Night Live, you'd be like, oh, and you'd be less likely to tune in the next week because you think it might happen again, even if it's subconscious.
Yeah, it's true, because it's like, I can't count on it.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other outside of the box tips you can think about? Is Spotify better to stream than Apple, or is there a new one coming?
I mean, spread your content as far and wide as humanly possible. If anyone's looking for a trick, I suggest AudioMac. AudioMac is a SoundCloud substitute, and they are really creator friendly, and they don't have a ton of podcasts on there yet. I've used it to grow audiences. That being said, most of the audience is international, so it'll be hard for a local podcast or a local show to be able to monetize that audience. But if you have large advertisers, someone who is international, get on AudioMac, because that stuff skyrockets on there. But it's mostly in like Ghana and Kenya and the islands. But a download is a download where I'm from.
Right. And then how big is YouTube in actually showcasing the podcast via video?
So YouTube actually just killed, well, Google just killed Google Podcasts. So Google Podcasts no longer exists. And now it's all in YouTube and YouTube Music and YouTube Podcasts. That just got rolled out, I believe, this week. So like, yeah, people have been posting their long form podcast videos on YouTube forever. But now YouTube is creating a hub that I just went in for the first time today. So I'm not an expert on it yet, but that's just because it literally just got set up a week or two ago, and then it got rolled out today. So.
Wow. And it just aggregates the top podcasts, or is it separated in some capacity?
From what I've seen, it's primarily video, but I'm hoping that they bring in the audio entries soon, because YouTube Music is growing in popularity.
Got it. So YouTube music, just the videos itself, or is there something else that I don't know about where it's just
They
audio?
just launched the repackaging of it. So I haven't even gone in there because I didn't even make an account. I don't pay for YouTube music yet.
No, I pay for Spotify.
So I'm gonna have to go in there and check it out more, but YouTube slash Google are working to get their chunk of the podcasting pie.
Very smart of them. They already have market share, so why not? Any other tips to help people out there?
No, just find something you're passionate about, find a niche, and I've got nothing else to say other than to go to the phillyplanedealer.com, follow the plane Philly Plane Dealer on Instagram, at Plane Philly on Twitter. Check out the 2100 podcast if that sounds like something you're interested in. And if you want to learn about more about me, follow me on all socials at J Peters 2100, J Peters 2100 on all social media platforms.
Thank you so much, Jason. I can't wait to see what you come up with this summer, and I hope to maybe we can partner on events together, live events, to make the Philly Plain Dealer.
I would absolutely love that, Jen. Any help you have is wanted and welcomed with open arms.
Right, live events would be awesome to connect the community. All right. Thanks again, Jason.
No,
Have
thank you so much.
a great day.
Well, that's it for now. Thanks everyone for joining us. Please reach out to me so I can feature you on my show. I do respond to everyone. You can find me on my Instagram at Jennifer Sherlock or my business Instagram at JennaCom. And check out our new website coming soon, livewithoutanet.com. Thanks again, and I look forward to taking risks with you.